So this evening we're going to be doing a study. I noticed that some of you don't have your Bible. You have to try to get your Bible. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking today on the temple of God. On the temple of God. So who can tell us what is the temple of God? What or who is the temple of God? If you are the temple of God, raise your hand. Yeah, sure. Okay, if this house is the temple of God, raise your hand. Okay, so everybody believes that this is the temple of God. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to draw that temple. I'm going to draw 3 circles. Okay, how many parts do you have in a man? How many parts does a man have? Yes?
Three.
Yes? You both?
Spirit.
Which one?
Spirit.
Mind. And what else?
And body.
Okay, spirit, mind, and body. Okay, so this is spirit. Okay, I will take this one, body. There's something missing. Okay, say mind. Okay. Okay, so this is the spirit. This is the body. Then what is this? This is the soul. Are we agreed? Okay. The scripture is in, we find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Can you read this for us? 1 Thessalonians 5. If you see, read it for, is it 5:17? Where it say, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body. Okay. Oh yeah, read it, read.
And the very God of peace sanctify your souls. And I pray for your whole spirit and soul and body, which is there present under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. So here he says, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, man has 3 parts. How many parts does God have? How many parts does God have? You don't know the scripture. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. Let's open. 1 John chapter 5. From verse 7 or so, if you see it. If you don't have your Bible, sit near somebody who has a Bible, please. sit near somebody who has the Bible, if you don't have a Bible, so that you can read. And then those who have a Bible, get a piece of paper and write down the scripture so you can study it. Okay, verse 7. Read verse 7 for us. Okay, so there are three that bear record in heaven. 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are they three gods or one God? The one God. So you, are you three persons or one? Okay. So God is one, but he has three natures or three manifestations. Man is one person, but he has spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Now, you've got that, which is very, very good. That is very, very good. Now, so we can go to the next step. How did God make man? Who knows? He said he made God in his own image and likeness. He made man. Which scripture is that? It's always good to follow the scripture. Genesis 1:26. Isn't it also? He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Who is the us? And you. Do you know you are being created? You are still being created now. Do you know that? How many people believe that you are still being... God has not finished with you. Okay, if God has finished with you, raise your hand. If God has finished working on you... Ephesians says that we are his workmanship, being created in Christ Jesus. We are still being created. So we are in the process of creation. I'm not a finished product. You are not a finished product. But most importantly, as our sister said, God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. So man has the nature of God. Man has the image of God. And man has the likeness of God. So that means that God wanted man to look like him physically. And also wanted, you know, man to look like him inside. So both inside you and outside, you look like God. Okay? So man is created in the image and in the likeness of God. So how did God actually make man? What did God do to make man? The Bible says that he brought the dust of the earth. Isn't it also? That dust of the earth is the body. This is the earth. That's the dust of the body, earth. And the Bible said that God took that dust and he breathed into the dust. Okay, so this is breath. This is breath. Breath or spirit. So the spirit or the breath or the heavenly nature he breathed into Adam. So you had the breath of God and you had the earth, and two of them, where they met together, it brought a new creation called soul. So this and this make up the soul. So the soul of man is a spiritual reality, but it's also a natural reality. It can also manifest in the natural realm. So the soul of man can manifest in the spiritual dimension, or also manifest in the natural dimension. It has two natures. So what are the different parts of the soul? Who can tell us? Our brother already mentioned one, which is the mind. This is the first one, mind. How many of us know what mind is? Your mind, where you think. Your thoughts is in your mind. Okay, before I forget, what is the difference between man and the animal, like the dog? Is there any difference? Okay, we'll come back to it. So apart from the mind, what else do you have in the soul of a man? Yes? Okay, open to which scripture will give us that now? Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelations. So you can write it there, Ezekiel chapter 1, Revelation chapter 4 and 5. The next thing is what? If somebody says something bad about you, what happens to you? Are you happy or you are sad? So what is that? Feeling. It says feeling. Okay. So that is the emotions. Remember that you say you are the temple of God, and we are talking about you. It's very important. You are the temple of God, so we are talking about you. So you have the mind, you have the emotion. Which other part of man do you want? If you see a nice car now, like that, you see a very beautiful car, what will happen to you? What do you feel about it? You like it. And if you like it, what do you want to, you want to reject it or want to have it? So you desire it. Huh? Good. So you have the desire here. Then there is one more. If you desire it, what would you do?
You buy it.
How do you go and buy it?
You work for it.
What makes you to work for it? What makes you to work for it? Eh? Because you need it. Why do you need it?
Because
your heart desire. We've already got that now. It's in your mind. You feel like it. There's one more. There's something else that you do.
You work and walk it.
Eh?
You work and walk it.
You walk. Why do you walk towards it? I know you need it now. Why do you? Not that you need it. Why do you need it? Yes. So it's a part of your life. Why do you want it to be part of your life?
It's important to you.
So it's important to you. Why is it important to you?
Because you love it.
Because you love it. Why do you love it?
Because it's God.
Because it's God. Because you have made up your mind. That you will go and get the car. You have made up your mind. Because you need it, because you like it, okay. Because I need it, I will go and get it. What is that? What is that called?
Effort.
You make effort.
Yeah.
I know you make effort, but before you make effort, you must have done something that will now decide to, that will make you want to go and get it. You have made a decision. You made a decision. And what is that called? That is your will. Your will. You have made the decision to go and buy the car. You made the decision, I will buy the car. But I don't have money. So the only way to have money is to do what? Go and work. Before you go and buy, you first of all make a decision. So that is how you function. And that is the temple of God. So the soul of man has four natures. There are four natures in you. There are four natures in you. And this is what the Bible calls the four corners of the earth. These are the four natures that determine how a man functions. The mind, the emotions, the desires, and the will. That is what makes up the soul of a man. And the Bible, you know, we will come to it. But so now that we have identified the four natures of the soul, and the scripture, I gave you the scripture, it's Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, Ezekiel chapter 1. They tell us about the different natures of the soul. Okay? Now, what is the difference between a dog and man? Who knows? A dog has no soul. So a dog has spirit. Who gave the dog spirit? Okay, a dog has no spirit. Does a dog have mind? Does an animal have mind? Eh? Does animal desire something? Eh? Does it have emotion? Does it have a will?
No.
The animal has no will. How does the animal decide where to go to? Does the body animal have a body? Does animal have a spirit?
No.
No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. You see, that's the problem we have, because we are not reading our Bible. But this is what I'm telling you is the most important thing that will change your life. If you understand this, the devil will run from you. Okay, let's open to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Only look for it. It says, when a man dies, please search for me Ecclesiastes about the soul, spirit, and body. The Bible says that when a man dies, what happens to him? Some of you went to decoration yesterday, but you didn't know your Bible. Okay? When a man dies, what does the Bible say? The body goes where? Because the Bible says, dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. So the body goes to the ground. Okay, read it. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Okay. So the body goes to the dust. The spirit goes back to God who gave it. Does God give animals spirit? Eh? So if God gives animals spirit, raise your hand. Okay? Those who say God doesn't give animal spirit should raise their hand. I'm not sure. The only difference between a man and the animal is spirit. Because the spirit came from God. That's the only difference. So animals have soul, they have body, but no spirit. The Bible said that God took and breathed into Adam, and Adam became. So it was the breath of God that made the difference. So animals do not have a spirit. Now, why did God give man a spirit? So that man can communicate with God. So that you can relate to God. Okay, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. So we know the soul goes to God for judgment, the body dies and goes to the ground, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Hallelujah. So God gave you his spirit so that you can communicate with him. With the spirit, man can communicate with the heavens or communicate with other spirits. The Bible says that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must do what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So the spirit that you have was given to you so that you can communicate with God. The spirit of man is like a radio transmitter or like a radio receiver. A radio receiver or your cell phone can receive and also send signals. That is how your spirit is. God put his spirit in you so that you can hear from him. And not just that, God also put his spirit in you so that you can also talk to him. So the spirit of man is able to reach up to heaven, communicate with God, receive the life of God, and manifest it on the earth. I don't know if you understand that. Man is both heaven and earth, based on what we have drawn. There is a heavenly part to man, and there is a natural part to man also. With my natural body, I communicate with the earth, isn't it also? With my spirit, I communicate and commune with God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, chapter 8, that the spirit of God communicates with our spirit. Isn't it also? Do you know that scripture? That the spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that what? We are the children of God. So spirit. God is not moved by your emotions. It's not how much you cry or how much you don't cry that makes God to hear you. What touches God is your spirit. Spirit is what touches God. Hallelujah. So you must know God is not emotional. God is not moved by your emotion, by crying. God is moved by your spirit, by your heart, the state of your heart. That is what moves God. That's what relates to God. And there's another scripture that says that there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of God, the life that comes from God, gives it understanding. That's Job 32, verse 8. Say there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God gives it life. That's a very, very important scripture. There's another one in Proverbs 20:27. Or is it 27:20? I always mix up, you may mix up. Please check it. Proverbs 20:27. It says, the spirit of man is what? Is the lamp of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Your spirit is like a lamp. The Spirit of God can set it on fire, can cause it to burn. Hallelujah. If that is true, then it means that your soul is also a lamp, because your soul also has the nature of the Spirit, and it can also be set on fire. Your mind can be quickened by God. Your emotions can be quickened by God. Your desire, your will can be quickened by God. That is who you are. Hallelujah. But there is also something. It also means that the soul of man, the spirit of man can be quenched. How many of you know that Adam was having fellowship with God? Adam was living in the garden of God. And the Bible says that God will come to him in the cool or in the ruach. That word ruach means spirit. That God will come to him in the realm of the spirit and will communicate with Adam. Adam was communicating with God. Adam was having fellowship with God. In fact, Adam was being nourished by a river that was coming from God. How many of you know that there was a river in the Garden of Eden? How many people know that? That there was a river. You see it in Genesis chapter 2. He said that this river had four heads. Four. The first head went to the mind. The first stream was going to the mind. The second one was going to the emotion. The third one was going to the will. The fourth one was going to the mind. So the mind of man, everything about the soul of man was being nourished by that river that was coming from God. That inspiration that was coming from God was being nourished. And if you read Jeremiah, it says, our soul shall be like a garden. Do you know that your soul is like a garden? This soul here, it's a place of fellowship. It's a garden. What do you go to the garden to do? What do you go to the garden to do? To do what? To play. To plant and harvest. Okay. What else do you do in the garden? That's farm. This is a garden. Okay. Do you have a garden, a park in Monrovia? Okay, you don't have a park. Oh dear. When you go to a garden, you go to relax. You have beautiful flowers. It's a place of relaxation. It's a place of fellowship. Somebody is sleeping. No, you cannot sleep. Stand up. With permission from all of us, you stand up. Stand up, stand up. Yes, stand. You can't sleep. Stand up. Praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. No, you are sitting down. You can't sit there, no. Stay there. Hallelujah. No sleeping. Amen. You stay there. Okay, sit down. Say hallelujah. No more sleep. Okay, good. So your soul is like a garden. Jesus wants to come to your soul to have fellowship with you. Do you understand? Remember, you say you are the temple. Is it not so? You are God's temple. God wants to fellowship with you. He said, behold, I stand at the door. If any man opens the door, what will I do? I will come in. Jesus wants to come into your heart and have fellowship with you. But you see, if he's going to come there, your heart must be like a garden. He said, our soul shall be like a watered garden. If your soul is not like a garden, it has thorns, thistles. It's like a desert. Then Jesus will not come there, because it is harsh. It's not a place where he can relax. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're talking about the soul of man. We're talking about the temple of God. We are speaking of that place of communion. So Adam was communing with God, was having fellowship with God. And a river was coming from God. If you look at Revelation chapter 21, you see that same river. Say there was a river that was flowing. You look at Revelation 22, say there was a river that was flowing from the throne of God. Who can tell us who is the throne of God? My soul, your soul is the throne of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your soul is the throne of God. And that is where the river, say the river was flowing from the throne of God. That is you. And it was clear. There were no death, no impurities. It was flowing. God wants to clean your life. But he cannot clean your soul unless you bring it as an offering. Many of us, as we are here now, our minds are not here. We think that our mind is not, your mind is the most important part of you. You must offer your mind. He says, I beseech you by the message that you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Every day you bring your mind. That is why you must not read things that pollute your mind. You must not hear stories. Don't let anybody come and gossip. Say, look, do you see what that man did yesterday? Do you see what that woman did? And so don't this, because when you read, when you hear those things, it pollutes your mind. For young people, don't watch bad films, bad books, bad novels. All those things, they come and they clutter your mind. They defy your mind. Your mind is no longer clean. The life of God will no longer flow through you. How about our emotions? Many of us, we are always quarreling. When you quarrel, or you are in malice to somebody, the river starts flowing. God runs away from you. Because the devil tells you your emotion is the most important part of you. Very important. Your emotion. You say, oh, I will not forgive him because he did so and so. What it means is that you don't want God to dwell in your emotion. Do you understand? You must forgive people. Many of you, you are just coming from the civil war, isn't it so? Many people did things that were bad to you. Some of you may have been raped during the civil war, or even now. Some of you may have gone through experiences, and you are still carrying things in your emotions. What it means is that your emotion has a problem, and God cannot come to you because your emotion has been damaged. Do you understand? The Bible says God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. If you are the temple of God, then it means you must be holy. The temple of God must be holy. Not just your body, but your emotions. Your desire, the things you desire. You cannot desire what is bad. You cannot desire what is ungodly. Because when you do that, the glory of God goes away from you. So God wants us to present everything to him. Worship, through praise and worship. Do you know what? It is not singing. Many of us, we have learned a very bad example. We are learning what they call soulish worship. Do you know what is soulish worship? You sing a song because it is sweet. Your mind is not there. Your emotion is not there. Your desire is not, it's dry, just words. God cannot receive that kind of emotion, that kind of worship. It is soulish. The true worship is that which is coming from your heart. You are involved in it. It's coming right from within you. That is the true worship. Now, it is not when you sing with a fine voice. Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Whether your voice is sweet or it's not sweet, it's not the voice that matters, it is the heart. It's the emotions, your desire, your will. In fact, worship is everything you did yesterday was worship. How many people believe in that? Everything you did yesterday, from the time you woke up to the time you slept, was worship. When you were arguing with somebody, it's worship. But that worship was going to the devil. Say amen now. Worship is your life. Worship is not what you do in church. It is everything you do with your mind, with your emotion, with your desire, everything. You know what the Bible says? It says, thou will love the Lord thy God with what? All thy mind. With all thy strength. With all thy... You will love the Lord with all. See, this is the first and greatest commandment. Hallelujah. How many of us are worshiping God with our emotions? You are worshiping God with your emotions. You are worshiping God with all your mind. All the time. And that's why the Bible said that any wherever you are going, on the road, anywhere, you should be, keep your mind on the scriptures. Think of the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. And that will give you life. So this is the temple of God. Now, I want to tell you something else. How much time do we have? Okay, we still have some time. Okay. Okay, now let's go to another dimension. Now, when Adam sinned, something happened. His spirit died. His spirit was switched off. His spirit died. Adam was cut off from God. The scripture said that your sins have made a separation between me, you, and me. So the sin of Adam came and... Okay, no, it should be here. Not here. There's another circle here. I'll draw another circle. This is the Father. This is the Son. And then this is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? So, the river that was flowing, the river was flowing this way. It was coming from the Father to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, to the Spirit, to the soul, and then to the body. That's how the life of God was flowing. When Adam sinned, what happened? There was a block. The Spirit of God could no longer flow or nourish and bring life to the spirit of Adam. Is that correct? And when that happened, the spirit of Adam died, was separated from God. And when that happened, what do you think happened to Adam? Let me see if there is somebody who is following the study. What do you think happened to Adam? I gave you the answer before. Yes? Was his spirit functioning? His spirit was no longer functioning, was dead. So what is it that happened to Adam? He was spiritually dead. What happened to Adam? He was spiritually dead. Then what did that mean? Adam was no longer... When you say Adam, you are making it very fast. Any child that is born, see these children, they are beautiful children, babies. The spirit is dead. Do you understand? Say amen now.
Amen.
Say amen. Amen. The beautiful baby you are carrying in your hand, the spirit is what? Dead. Any of you here that is not born again, your spirit is what?
Dead.
What does that mean? If the spirit of a man is dead, what does that mean? What does that make him?
He is not born
It starts what?
Flowing.
It starts flowing with God. Yes, what else? Oh, I thought somebody would pick. The communication line is closed. Very good. Yes?
He's a
what?
Sinner.
He's a sinner. Very good. What else? I thought you would get this very quickly. It's what? It's like what?
Darkness
flows in. Hey, God bless you. So, darkness is here, and the darkness starts coming here, and the darkness starts coming here. So that means, that baby you are carrying in your hand, there's darkness in the soul, darkness in the spirit, darkness in the body. The scripture in 2 Corinthians says that the God of this world has done what? Has blinded the minds of them that do not believe. The person is spiritually blind. Blind, no light. But there's something more important. The person is not equivalent to a beast. The person is not equivalent to a dog, to an animal. Because at this stage, the Spirit of God is no longer controlling him. He is not behaving like an animal, like, you know, that's what the Bible calls a car. He now becomes a carnal man. He is now ruled by his flesh. How many of us here are ruled by our flesh? He's ruled by his emotion. Hey, my mother, if I don't go to the grave, my mother will feel bad as I'm not taking care. You have been driven by what? You have been driven by emotions. So there are some of us who are ruled by sexual desire. That's it. Or we have been ruled by fashion. I notice in Liberia here that you don't dress well. The women, you wear sleeveless dresses. You expose your body. You wear shorts. Yesterday we saw one lady. She was wearing, this was her dress. Everything here was. And it looked normal. It looked normal. She didn't feel bad. Do you know why? Who can answer? Why did she not feel bad? Because darkness is in the soul. She says she's in the church. She's in the church. But her spirit is dead. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what is happening. The person is being ruled by his emotions. The way God planned it, the emotion was not supposed to function on its own. Was supposed to be ruled by the spirit of man. The spirit of man is supposed to have control over the soul, and the soul is supposed to have control over the body. But the spirit of man is supposed to be ruled by the spirit of God. Do you understand? So when man died, the control of the spirit of God was removed. What do you think happened? I'll give you a clue. The Bible says there is no vacuum in nature. What do you think happened? Let me see, somebody will get it. When the Spirit of God was cut off from the Spirit of man, what do you think happened to the Spirit of man? What did she say? Okay, say darkness. Well, what does that mean? Let's put this in a better way. If darkness came in, what does that mean? Yes?
There is no control in your life.
What?
There is no control in your life.
Partly correct. What you mean that the control of the Spirit of God is not there again?
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
Yeah.
So who now is in control?
The devil is in control.
Hey, God will bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. All of us say, "I'm bless you and bless you." Do you understand that? If I now I can go back to Nigeria because you have understood the lesson. This is where we are. That's where you are. When this control of the Spirit of God was removed, another man entered immediately. What is his name? Devil. So devil, who is also a spirit, took over the control of the spirit of man. And if the devil took over the spirit of man, what do you think happened to his mind, his emotion, his desire? The devil also took over. In fact, spirit now came to live in the soul. Before this time, the spirit of God was dwelling and living in the soul of man. Okay, yeah, I'm sure you are asking, where is that in the Bible? Fine. The Bible says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, what does he do? He says he walks around looking for another home. That when he doesn't find, what does that spirit say? He said, I will go back to my house. And he said, when he comes to the house, he sees that the house is empty. What does he do? He said, he goes to bring seven more wicked spirits. And they say, come, oh, there is home. And they come back. And he said that the state of that person is worse than how it was before. So what it is telling you, that you, your soul, is the dwelling place of spirits. If the spirit of God is not there, who will be there? The spirit of the devil. So this is what is happening. So the soul of man is a habitation of spirits. There is no vacuum. If God is not there, the devil will be there. Hallelujah. This is the spiritual battle. This is the spiritual warfare. If you understand this, then you are ready to overcome the devil. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the key of your victory. For you to understand what the devil has been doing. Now, when any child is born, the child is born with this kind of situation. The child is born with spirits already dwelling in the emotions, in the desire, in the will, in the mind. What are those spirits called? They are called familiar spirits. That is why every child born in Kisi tribe behaves like the Kisi people. Because when it is born, the father would have transmitted the Kisi spirit to the child. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Say yes now. Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That is why every Kisi child behaves like a Kisi child. Because there is a Kisi spirit inside. Say amen. Hallelujah. When the child is born, he's born with spirits already dwelling inside. When the children of Israel went to the promised land, what happened there? Did they find some people there? Huh? When the children of Israel went to Canaan, did they find it all empty or there were people inside there already? When they got to the promised land, they saw giants. They saw them dwell, in fact, mountains. They saw men like giants. They were dwelling in the mountains. They were dwelling inside the cave. Maybe Brother will talk about this later. They were dwelling on the mountain, dwelling in the cave, dwelling on the sea. Some of them had chariots of iron, chariots of wood. They had idols. They had all kinds of things. Do you know that is your soul? That's how your soul is. When you are born, there are spirits already dwelling. Some of them are dwelling deep, deep down. Some of them are dwelling in the realms of the spirit. Others are dwelling in your emotions. Do you know there are spirits that dwell in emotions? Others specialize in the mind. Others specialize in the desire. Others specialize in the will. In different. So by the time the man is born, he's already a house of demons. Say amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that the devil does not come but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. So when Jesus comes into your life, it is light coming into darkness. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot resist. Hallelujah. The Bible says God was made flesh. Say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Hallelujah. Then the sweetest one is in verse 12. He said, and the Word was made flesh. Do you know what that means? That means that Word that was God, that was in the beginning, was made flesh, was sown into my soul. You know, when Jesus comes, he comes like a seed of life. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, except a grain of wheat die, it abides alone. So when Jesus came into this world, remember, the Bible said, you know, Mary, the angel said to Mary, that the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and a seed will be deposited in you. Hallelujah. And he said that that seed will be a holy thing. Hallelujah. So when the Holy Ghost came, it deposited the seed of Christ in Mary. Hallelujah. When you bring your soul also, when you say you want to get born again, what you mean? You are bringing your soul. Your soul is like the womb of Mary. You bring your soul. Hallelujah. This soul is already carrying darkness. Your spirit is already dead. Do you know what happens? The blood of Jesus comes. That's the first thing. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Hallelujah. When you see blood, it has life. Hallelujah. The life of God was in that blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you open your soul, you open your mind, you say, I want to get born again. The life, their blood comes. And they apply that blood to your soul. Hallelujah. The blood is applied to the four corners of your soul. And the life of God comes into your soul. That life of God is the light of God. Hallelujah. It's the power of God, the glory of God. It comes in. And when it comes, this spirit is switched on. The hopeless was dark before, now it is switched on. Hallelujah. Your eyes are opened and you see God. You realize you are a sinner. And you come to God, you say, God, I submit, I give myself to you. Hallelujah. The life of God comes in. The seed of God comes. And that seed begins to germinate. The life of God begins to grow in you. Hallelujah. It's just like a woman that has a baby. It's growing. It has to come to fullness. It has to come to maturity. Hallelujah. And when that seed comes, the life of God begins to grow. Something new begins to happen. Okay. Something new begins to happen. And, you know, you begin to notice the life of God. Something wonderful begins to happen. Now, that is what happens to the soul. The soul has received a new life. It has got a new life. It has got the life of God. But remember, this life of God has come, but the nature of the soul has not been changed. Hallelujah. The life of God has come, but the soul nature has not been changed. The soul must be changed. That is, the target is that the soul must be changed from a nature of darkness to the nature of light. Hallelujah. When Adam died, his spirit died immediately. His soul gradually began to die. The same thing with his body, gradually. In fact, the Hebrew word says, in dying, you will continue to die. Adam lived for how many years before he died? You know, 900 years. Now, the oldest man in Liberia is how old? See? Are they up to 100 in Liberia? Or they're much, much lower? So you see, man has been dying. The mind of man has been dying. Everything of man has been dying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So also when you get born again, when you receive the life of God, God begins to restore your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, present. It says, be you renewed in your mind. Your mind is being renewed continually from glory to glory. So the restoration of the life of God to your soul, it takes time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is one day at a time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here a little, there a little. It says like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, until the fullness of the life and the life of God is restored to the soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what is going on in the church. So the lesson is that you are the temple of God. Your mind, your emotions, your desire, your will, everything must be offered to God. Number two, for you to realize that when you are born with spirits already dwelling in you. And those spirits are the familiar spirits, are the tribal spirits, are the national spirits. And that is why God told Abraham, you must come out from your tribe, you must come out from your family, you must come out from your nation. Whenever you get involved in family festivals, or tribal festivals, or national festivals, in Christmas, in Easter, in St. Valentine, would you know what you are doing? Instead of removing the spirits, you now add more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when you add more, your state is worse than before. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is why the church is weak. Because we don't understand the spiritual warfare. Many of us, we go and we submit to spirits. When we watch films, we see American women, we want to dress like them. We see Michael Jackson, we want to dress like them. We see, what do they call it, Rihanna, is it not? You dress, what's the other one? All those pop stars, you dress. When you dress like them, the spirit in them comes into you. And that is why the church is fallen. That's why the youth, their mind is taking over. But today, God wants us to offer our mind to Christ. How many of us are willing to offer our minds to Christ? That we want to say to God, my mind is your temple. My emotions are your temple. I will give you all my soul. My soul is the dwelling place of God. I will no longer keep malice. I will no longer gossip. I will no longer quarrel. I will no longer be stubborn. I will no longer, you know, submit to uncleanness. Because when you do those things, the spirits come back. And when they come back, they come with more force. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are going to pray now. We are going to pray now. And we are going to ask God to touch us. So that we will be moving forward. That is, we will be casting out the spirit. We will be overcoming the spirit instead of submitting to them. Praise the Lord. So I'll ask my brother to come and pray. For you pray for us, as many as want God to touch them. We will pray that God will do so. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes the mind is born again. But you find that the spirit of anger is still ruling in his life. Sometimes a man is born again, but he has a problem with sexual immorality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes a man is born again, but he's still telling lies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible calls these things the unfruitful work of darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God wants to bring light to our soul. The word that God is speaking, He's speaking even to Christians. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants to enter your soul. The Bible says we are to be transformed in our character by the renewing of our minds. God wants to change the old mind and give you a new mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that we can think the way God wants us to think. He wants to change our desire so that we will have a hunger for the things of God. Some of us can watch films, but we cannot read our Bible. God wants to change that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of us are stubborn in our will. We have wives that cannot submit to their husbands. We have husbands that beat their wives. God wants to bring about a change so that light will come into our soul, and this light will shine in our behavior, in our personality. God is looking for a new people, not just the people who say we are Christians, but the people whose life is shining. The Bible says now some have hatred in their hearts. It is darkness. You see that anybody who hates his brother is still in the darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we have news for you. The Bible says that the darkness is passing away and the true light is now shining.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said that God who commanded light to shine is now shining in our hearts. Today the light will shine again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you want God to touch your life, if you want the light to shine, the true light that lightens every man, not just to shine in your spirit, but now begin to shine in your soul and show in your character. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to begin to talk to the Lord now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to begin to lift up your voice and begin to ask the Lord to shine the light.
Hallelujah.
To shine into your heart. Begin to open up your heart to the Lord. Begin to open up your heart. The Bible says we are to surrender our hearts, our emotions. Let the light of Jesus shine. Let the light of God shine. Let the unfruitful works of darkness, when the light comes in, it destroys darkness. It destroys the power of darkness. We have nothing to do with darkness. We are the children of the light. Let our light shine today. Ask God today. Open your heart to the Lord. Let your light come in, oh God. Let your light shine in my life. Let the darkness pass away. Let the true light shine in my life. Begin to talk to the Lord. It is the hour of visitation. Isaiah said, arise and shine, for the light is come. There's a world that is bringing light. The entrance of this world bringeth light. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, let your light shine. Let your light shine in my heart. Let your light shine in my soul. Let the darkness pass away. Let the true light shine. Shine, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Let's pray together in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word. Give it light. Give it understanding to the simple. And so, Lord, we commit the word that has been proclaimed. We ask tonight that this word will find an entrance into the hearts of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray tonight, you that commanded light to shine out of darkness, that you will shine in the hearts of your people. Shine brighter and brighter. Shine, O God, and expose darkness. Shine and destroy darkness. Shine and reveal Christ, who is the true light that lighteneth every man, in the name of Jesus Christ. That we might have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, we might reject them. The works of darkness. We reject in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that the power of light will overcome and break the power of darkness in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the chains of darkness be broken. Let the chains of darkness be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. We ask tonight that the coverings over your people be destroyed. That the light of Christ, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, be released unto your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, my God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. The Lord says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the word of the Lord. He said, because you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you very much. We are believing God that we will be here again. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm trusting that the Lord will speak to us and bring us to an understanding that this is the hour of light. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Amen.
Father, let's prepare for the season. I don't want to for the season. I don't want to be able to make up of our own solution. Let me watch it.
No, you can't go to let that be your name.
No.